The last three Sundays, we have started looking at this idea of being an influence. And as you can see there, I chose the image of dominoes to visually represent this idea of being an influence and how when one domino is set in motion, it can impact and influence thousands of other dominoes. And that is exactly the idea that I see for our lives of how if we will allow God to move through us in ways that He never has before, to be an impact and an influence on the lives of those around us, that influence can spread in much the same way. And this morning, what I want to do is bring you a message that I've entitled Envisioning God's Plan for My Life. Envisioning God's Plan for My Life. I struggled with this title a lot, actually, more than probably I have in a year or so with a sermon title. I just didn't know how to capture what I wanted to say. One of the, I guess the subtitle for this would be Planning to Be an Influence. The point of this is, and we'll see as we get into this message today, that for you and I to become people of greater influence for the kingdom of God tomorrow than we are today, than we were 5 years ago, it is not enough for us just to sit around and hope that it will happen. We have to envision God's plan for our future, see how big His plan for us is. And then we have to take the steps to begin to plan and to make that happen, to allow that to come about. Now, I want to tell you, today's message is a very practical message. I hope you don't mind if we do those every once in a while. I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, if we can't make the Word of God practical, then there's not much point. There really is not much point. We can know the Greek, we can know the Hebrew, but if we walk out of here Sunday by Sunday and go, I'm not really sure what to do with that, then we're kind of wasting our time even bringing messages. But today's message especially is just a painfully practical message. Because I think we need this. I think this is an important piece in this whole process of becoming an influence. So many people, and I will tell you this, especially Christians, fail to make plans for God to use their life. We sometimes super spiritualize everything, and we miss the practical steps that we need to take in order to plan our life for God. Now, we always leave our plans with God, don't we? And He can change them however He wants to. But the point of this message today is that we need to begin to see God's future for our life, and then we need to be people who take deliberate steps to put a plan in action to make that happen. Someone once said, if you fail to plan, you do what? You plan to fail. That's absolutely true. And to help illustrate this, take a look at this brief video.
When was the last time you stopped and evaluated your life? I mean, really took the time to decide what the most important things are. The sad truth is, most of us don't do that. We just live our lives day after day. But the truth is, life is a series of choices. And the things that we choose are the things that are most important to us. If we don't evaluate our lives and decide and clarify what's most important, we'll end up wasting it. The Bible says that it is the intelligent man who aims at wise actions, but the fool starts off in many directions. If that's our gauge of how we're going to evaluate our lives, the sad truth is many of us are going to fall into the category as fools. But none of us wants to live foolish lives. We want to be wise. Therefore, we have to consider the words of Christ, who said that the most important things in life are to love God and to love others. In evaluating your priorities and clarifying what the most important thing is in life, we have to use that as our measuring stick. But we have to choose. God doesn't decide for us that we're going to have good priorities. In fact, Job said that We can choose what sounds to listen to and what taste we want in food, and we should choose what is right. But first of all, we must define what is good. What is good in your family? What's good in your personal life? What's good at work? That is how you clarify what is most important. Because look, when you consider your life, the question of whether you're going to waste it or use it, it all comes down to whether you've clarified what's most important. Because when it's all said and done, your life, just a dash between two dates.
Some pretty powerful thoughts there. He quoted Proverbs 17:24 that says, "The intelligent man aims at wise actions, but the fool starts off in many directions." I want to tell you something this morning that you may have never thought about, but this is true. No one lives a life of effective, godly influence accidentally. No one does. If we do not plan for God to use our lives, it will not happen by accident. No one has ever gone out for a stroll and ended up at the top of Mount Everest. It's never happened. In the history of the world, that has never happened. The only people who have reached the top of Mount Everest are people who have sat down and had such an overwhelming passion to reach that summit that they've been willing to set aside whatever necessary in their life to put the plans in place and work those plans through until they reach the top of that mountain. And if we're going to be people of godly influence, like we've been talking about for the last three Sundays, we're going to have to take the steps necessary in our life for that to happen. We're going to have to plan for it. We're going to have to move towards it. I don't want anyone in this church to wake up years from now and ask themselves, "How did I get here? This is not where I wanted my life to be. How did this happen?" I don't want anybody to experience that. The truth is, if you are not actively seeking God's plan for your life and taking steps to live out that plan, then you're going to end up living a life that will take you someplace you never wanted to go. Now, church, let me ask you, do we want to be people of godly influence? I can answer that question for myself. I don't know about you. I want to be a person of godly influence. And I don't want to be a person with the same influence for God 5 years from now that I am today. I want, as we've talked about on the previous weeks, I want my influence for God to expand more and more and more. The question is, am I willing to get so practical in this matter that I will take the time to sit down and evaluate certain areas of my life and ask God to show me what changes I need to make in my life to allow me to move forward in following His vision for my life and becoming a person of greater influence for His kingdom? There are four areas that I've listed today that we're going to look at. We're going to just touch each of them very briefly. I wish I had more time to dig deeper into these, but I just don't. And these sort of make up a circle. I've drawn them out for you here. The first one is our personal life. And I'll just show all these to you, and then we'll go back through them one by one. The second area is our life's work. And this is much bigger than our job. I'll explain that to you. The third one is our community. And the fourth one, which is at the center of the circle, is our faith. Because our faith is the center point of our lives. It needs to be the area from which everything else flows from within us. So if you're taking notes, you can jot these down. I'm going to list these 4 points, and for each of these points, I have a question that I want to ask you. And if you're taking notes, I hope you'll write these questions down, and I hope you'll think about them during the week. The first area is our personal life. And the question that I have for you here is, what is my plan for personal growth? What is my plan for personal growth? It is astounding to me that people will take the time to make plans for every imaginable thing. They'll plan a vacation months in advance, plan every detail of the vacation to make sure it's going to go just the way they want. They'll plan for their business to grow. They'll plan all kinds of things, but when you ask the person, what is your plan for personal growth? They have no answer for it. None whatsoever. They've never taken the time to sit down and realize that they need to plan for their life to grow. We just sort of assume it's going to happen by accident. But as I said a minute ago, no one becomes a person of effective godly influence accidentally. What is my plan for personal growth? I want to list five things for you quickly here. And again, I'm just going to fly through these, and I just want to kind of prime the pump and let you think about these 5 points under this area of your personal life and ask the Holy Spirit to show you this week if there's one of these areas that is limiting you, that is preventing you from being a person of godly influence. The first is your family. Is there anything in your life that is preventing your family from becoming all that God wants it to be? Are you the roadblock for your family right now from becoming what God wants your family to be? What goals could you set in order for your family to grow in the way God desires for it to grow? What steps are you taking to be the person that God wants you to be in your family? Secondly, what about your friendships? I have two questions for you here that seem completely opposite, and yet they're not opposite. They're like a left and a right hand that fit together. The first question is, how many Christian friends do you have? The second question is, how many unsaved friends do you have? You and I need enough Christian friends in our life to be able to help keep us on the right path, to keep us moving forward for Christ. I've told you before, I want to tell you again, the Christian life cannot be lived alone. When you wander away from the flock, you are an open target for the enemy to pick you off. Don't live the Christian life alone. Do you have enough Christian friends in your life who care enough about you that when you get off track, and you will, who will come to you and lovingly, with as much toughness as they need to, say, listen, what are you doing? Where are you going? Get back on track. I can tell you that has happened in my life. Has that happened to anybody else? You've made a decision and you're about to head in a direction that is going to wreck you. Thank God for Christian friends who will gather around you and say, listen, pal, we love you too much to let this happen. Let's get back on the right path together. You need Christian friends, but listen, I believe that as Christians, one of the places that we are dropping the ball is we do not have enough unsaved friends. I read a statistic one time that said, on average, when a person becomes a Christian, that within 2 years after that, all of their friends are Christian friends. They've dropped all their unsaved friends. Who's going to reach them? I want to surround myself with unsaved friends. I'm not ashamed to say that. Jesus was a friend of sinners. A person comes to Christ, they need to find that balance in their area of friendships, that they have enough Christian friends to keep them on the right road, and also that they have enough unsaved friends so that God can touch the lives of those people. The third area in our personal life is our finances. Your finances will not take care of itself. What goals do you have in place to manage your finances? I know I told you this is painfully practical today. And some may even say, well, this is not even a sermon. It has no place in the church. You know what? I think this is hugely important in our lives. All of these practical issues. Because if we fail in this area of our personal life, in these things that I'm listing out for you, we're never going to be an effective person in the kingdom of God. It won't happen. What goals do you have? What plans do you have in place to manage your finances in a way that is pleasing to God? Are you honoring God with the way you spend your money? Are you honoring God by bringing Him a portion of what He's given to you, as we talked about 2 weeks ago? God will bless you if you honor Him with your finances. Again, it's just mind-boggling to me how Christians seem to be the worst in the world in this area of just saying, well, I don't need to put any kind of a plan in place. I'm just going to trust God. You ever heard that? There was a lady one time who over and over and over again would say things like to me, like, well, we're about to lose everything, but my husband and I just keep praying every day that when we go to the mailbox, there's going to be a big check there in the mailbox. And I would just kind of bite my lip and just cringe and go. And this happened again and again and again. And one day when that happened, I was with two other men, and we were talking to her, and she said that. And you know what the Holy Spirit directed me to do? It didn't turn out too well. But when she said that again, you know, we're just praying so hard that we'll go to the mailbox and there'll be a check. I said, let's pray right now. And we stopped and prayed. And I said, Father, I pray you'd provide for this woman and her husband good jobs. Give them good jobs, Lord, jobs that they'll love, that will provide for the needs of their family. Boy, you could feel the mood change right there. The air went out of that room. And she was never the same to me after that day. She was never the same. Why? Because, you see, I took her out of this phony, foolish, spiritual realm of just, well, let's just lay on the couch and pray that God will provide. God's not going to provide for you that way, friends. We need to take practical steps to make sure that these areas in our life are covered. The fourth one, I know I'm going to get ragged about this one, but it's important, and we never mention it. And I didn't want to mention it, but it's fitness. You know, are we wrecking our bodies with the way that we live our life? Because if we want to become people of godly influence, this is something that we cannot ignore. What are the one or two things that you and I could do to improve our health and to help us live longer and be better witnesses for Christ longer? Do we need to eat better? Do we need to exercise? Do we need to stop smoking? Whatever it is, maybe there are some practical steps that you and I can take that will help us in this area. And Rex and I are working on an exercise plan. How are you coming with that, buddy? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, and here's the thing. None of us are doing well in all five of these areas. I'll just tell you now. None of us are doing great in all five. And you know, we'll go through life. We'll do better in one than we do in another. But I just want to mention these to you. And the last one under personal life that I listed, which I know I'm going to take some heat for because I got hammered this week by some of the men in this church on this area, and that is the area of free time. It is a biblical principle that we set aside one day every week to rest, to relax, and to recharge. It's very important. We'll never function at our best if we are not rested. Now, I've always been honest with you up here, and I will tell you, I am failing in this area right here, right now, in my life. I'm really, really dropping the ball. Since we started this church, I've been going 110 miles an hour. And one of the things that I didn't count on when we started this church, I didn't even think about it, was the fact that, you know, I used to work Monday to Friday and then look forward to my weekends as a time of total relaxation. And since we started this church, my weekends are now my busiest, most taxing, most stressful time. Saturday for me is the most mentally draining day of my week. Doesn't matter if I've prepared the message 3 weeks in advance or 3 months in advance, when it comes down to the day before, all I can think about is the message for Sunday. And it's going over and over again in my mind, and I'm thinking about it and praying about it and making changes. And then Sunday comes, and getting up here and doing this, if you've ever done this, you can testify, right, Richard? It is an exhausting experience to do this. It drains you physically and emotionally and spiritually. It's an exhausting thing. Plus, I work Monday to Friday. And so what I've realized is I'm looking at my life, and I don't take any intentional downtime every week. And I want to tell you, church, that's foolish. It's foolish. And I'm starting to pay the price for that now. So if you want to know one specific thing you can help me pray about this. I need to make some changes in my life where I can have at least one day a week where I am completely unplugged, completely disconnected from everything here, and I can just do whatever I want to do. It's been 3.5 years since I've had that. Pray for me in that area. That would be a very important thing, and that's the one thing I need to work on in my life right now. Point is, what goals do you and I need to set in this area of our personal life to become people of greater influence? Well, as we move on around the circle, we come to the next area, which is our life's work. And the question I have for you here is, how will I live out my calling? Now, life's work is an important term, and I chose that intentionally because it is bigger than just your job. It involves living out what God has gifted you and called you to do. Have you ever considered the fact that your job may be just the vehicle that God has provided for you to accomplish His real life's work through you? You ever thought about that? Let me ask you a question. The Apostle Paul, was he a... Now be careful before you answer this because it's a tricky question. Was he a tent maker or was he a missionary? Well, he was both. He was both. Tent maker was his job. Church planting and winning souls was his life's work. You see the difference? Paul was not defined by the type of work he did. He was not defined by his job. And I want to tell you that is an important principle. You are not defined by your job, even though everything in our culture will tell you otherwise. Do you have a corner office? I have a corner office. You're vice president? Oh, I'm senior vice president. You see, we define ourselves by what we do, but God's picture of us is much, much bigger than our job. God has a life's work for all of us to do. Again, it doesn't mean that we have to go to a foreign mission field, as I've told you, in order to fulfill that life's work. God wants to do that through you right where you are. Paul saw his job as just part of the bigger picture. And he worked at his job as though he were working for the Lord. In fact, he said that in Colossians 3:23. He said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. A job is just a job, but it takes on eternal significance when you begin to see your job as the means that God has provided for you to be an influence in the lives of others. It will revolutionize the way you see your job. So whether you're a full-time parent, whether you're the president of a company, you have an opportunity to use that role to be an influence in the life of others. What was Paul remembered for? Was he remembered for being a tent maker? Or was he remembered for being a church planter and a lover of lost souls? Nobody remembers Paul as a tent maker. Whenever we hear the name of Paul in the scriptures, we think of that great missionary. What are you going to be remembered by? You're going to be remembered by your job, or are you going to be remembered for your life's work? We touched on this a little bit last week, so I'm going to move right along to the next point. But I just want to encourage you. I know all of us, you know, at points in our life have gotten stuck in a job that's just a rut. It's a dead end. We can't stand it. Commit that to the Lord and say, Lord, if you want to move me on from here, please move me on. But wherever you have me, Lord, wherever you have put me, I want to see my job, not just as a job, but as a means to fulfill the life's work that you have for me. Folks, God has a life's work for every one of his children. Don't limit your vision to your job. Begin to see it as a means to a life's work for the kingdom of God. Well, not only personal life and life's work, but thirdly, community. And the question I have here for you is, how will I care for my city? We get to live in a pretty great part of the country. A lot of people are moving here. But you know, God doesn't have us here just to take up space and use up oxygen. He has us here to be an influence on our city and to make a difference. There's a verse in Luke chapter 19 that I always seem to pause at when I'm reading through that section. In verse 41, it says, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Whenever I read that verse, I always sort of just pause and lean back in my chair and just think. You know, I've been to Jerusalem a number of times, and I can imagine him cresting that hill and looking up and seeing the city and just pausing there and looking at that city and starting to cry. Because he was so moved with compassion when he saw that city and he thought about the hurting people there and the lost people in that city who were going to reject him and want nothing to do with his message. And it broke his heart. The Bible says he saw them harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And you know, I believe that Jesus has a broken heart for our city too. You see, Jesus isn't here in the flesh anymore, but he's left you and me here to be Jesus to our city. And I wonder, does our heart ever break for Greenville? Do we ever have any moments in our week when our heart breaks, when we weep as we drive around and we see and we think about all the people in this city who do not know Christ, whose lives are ruined because they're going their own way and they're rejecting him? Do we have a broken heart for our city? It's so easy for us to get caught up in the busyness of our life that we never pause to think about reaching our community. And I just want to tell you this, guys. We as a church have not done nearly as much as we need to in this area. And I will take the blame for that. We have not done enough. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. We've wept about it. And we are now doing what I'm saying this morning, trying to put plans in place that will just take us from where we are to being a church that is highly engaged and effective in reaching people in this city. I believe it's what God wants us to do, and it's one of the ways that he will expand our influence. We had a great opportunity yesterday morning to gather with some folks here and pray and take truckloads of cold water and food to homeless people in downtown Greenville. We did that for a few hours yesterday morning. And it was an incredible experience to do that. And I pray that that will be just the first step in this church becoming a church that cares for its community and that reaches out. And by the way, if you have ideas and suggestions of how we can do that, if God has put something on your heart, if you have a passion for some area, come and talk to us. We would love to get with you and explore that further and see how God can use us in that way. I'm going to move on from this point to the last one, because next week, really the whole message next week is going to be in this area right here about engaging our world. And so I'll save that for next week. Well, finally, we've looked at the area of our personal life. We've looked at the area of our life's work. We've looked at the area of community involvement. Finally, I want to get to the center of it all, the most important one, which is the area of our faith. And the question I want to ask you here is, how will I deepen my relationship with God? The more you and I deepen our connection with God, the more it allows us to plug into his vision for our life. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. The more we grow in faith, the more our eyes will be open to what God has before us and what He wants us to do. In Luke 17:5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And that ought to be the prayer of every one of us on a regular basis. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul wrote these words to the church, and he said, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." I want to tell you, it's God's desire for us as His children to grow more and more in our area of faith, in our relationship with Him. And I'll promise you this, God's vision for your future is way bigger and way more exciting than your own vision for your future. He has much bigger plans for you than you could ever dream of for yourself. The problem is that the goals that we have, the goals that we have for our own life are so much smaller than what God wants for our life. And this is one reason why it's so important for us to deepen our faith in Him so that our eyes of faith can be open and we can begin to, as the title of the message says, envision God's plan for my life. Throughout the Bible, we find people who had limited vision for their future. But when they got plugged into and connected to God's vision for their life, it changed their life entirely, and their influence for God began to multiply and expand. Abraham's vision for his life was to retire in his hometown and take it easy. But God's vision for Abraham was for him to move hundreds of miles away and become the father of a new nation. Moses' vision for his life was just to stay in hiding in the desert. But God's vision for Moses was for him to go back to Egypt and free his people from bondage. David's vision for his life, being the youngest of 8 boys, was just to be a shepherd. But God's vision for David was to become the greatest king in Israel's history. Peter's vision was to be a fisherman and hopefully to get a better catch tomorrow than he did today. But God's vision for Peter was to become one of the most important leaders in the early church and to be a fisher of men. Paul's vision for his life was to continue persecuting the church. But God's vision for his life was to become the most significant church planter in history and the major author of the New Testament. I think about my own life. My vision for my life, which seemed so big then, but seems so small now, was to run a computer business, which I did for many years, and then to retire in some exotic location. God's vision for my life was so much bigger than that. To become a pastor and to help shepherd His people and to be able to influence the lives of people week by week. And maybe to retire in the exotic location of Greenville. Who knows, right? That's a wonderful thought. You might be thinking, well, here's my life. You know, I'm stuck where I am. I'll probably do this for the rest of my life. I don't like it. I'm not happy. I don't feel any fulfillment. You know, but I guess I have no choice but just to grit my teeth and live it out for the rest of my life. I want to tell you, folks, that's a shame because that is not the plan that God has for your life. It's not. God wants every one of us to deepen our faith in Him, to deepen our relationship with Him, so that we can begin to plug into His vision for our life and increase our influence. And I want to say one more time as I close, becoming a person of godly influence will not happen by accident. It's important to pray about becoming a person of influence. I told you that our first Sunday together. One of the 3 keys is knowledge, prayer, and service. The more we know God, the more we can show who God is. Through prayer, it's critical that we pray every step of the way. And through serving others, God will open doors. But I want to tell you what. We not only need to pray about being people of influence, we need to begin to make a plan, have enough faith to sit down with pen and paper and start to draw out a plan and say, God, guide me in this. I want to make a plan for my life for becoming a person of greater influence. Planning without prayer is foolishness, but praying without planning is faithlessness. Don't ever forget that. When we pray and ask God to do something greater in our life, and then we sit back and don't do anything to take steps of faith in that direction, we are exhibiting an extraordinary lack of faith in our God. Pray, yes, but plan. Plan. Take the steps necessary. Believe that God will answer that prayer. I close with this illustration from that great movie, Facing the Giants, which I'm sure most of you by now have seen. And it's interesting, I had not even thought about this until Wednesday, standing right in here talking to one of our guys about some things. And this scene from that movie came to mind, and I shared it with him, and as I was driving home, I was thinking, man, that is exactly what we're talking about on Sunday. I don't know if you remember the scene, but the coach in that movie was just at a point of total frustration in his life. Nothing was going right. It seemed like his family was falling apart, his job was falling apart, his finances, his friends, his trust, everything seemed to just be at a standstill. And he began praying, God, change my life. Do whatever you need to do in my life to make me the person that you've created me to be. And after he prayed that prayer, that man in the high school who used to walk down the halls and pray over the lockers of the kids came up to that pastor. And it was a short, tiny little scene in the movie, but man, it impacted me like a ton of bricks. He said to the pastor, two farmers prayed for rain, but only one went out and prepared his fields. Which one do you think trusted God? That's powerful. That is powerful. Two farmers prayed for rain, but only one went out and started preparing his fields for the rain. Folks, listen, I'm done. I want to finish with this. I could bring 60 weeks of sermons on influence, and we could cover every detail, every facet of what it means to be an influence for God. We can pray about being an influence for God, but listen, are we doing anything about it? Are we taking the steps necessary in our life to clean up whatever messes there may be that are hindering us from becoming people of influence? I pray that after this message today, the Holy Spirit will show each of us just one thing in our life that we can say, God, by faith, I am going to begin to put a plan into action and follow that plan to become the person you want me to be, not for my own sake, but so that you can be a greater influence through my life. Hey, folks, we need to be a people of prayer, but let's not stop there. Once we pray, let's believe and let's step out and follow God. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be people of godly influence. That's what you've called us to do. You told us to let our light shine so that men would see our good works and glorify you in heaven. And that's what we want to be. And Lord, I believe that's the prayer of this church right now at this point in time, that you would expand our influence. But Father, help us to have the faith to step out and begin putting things in place to be people of influence. And I pray, Lord, that because of this, you would be glorified and that people would be drawn to you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.